Answering your tough financial questions for the past 21 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters with co-hosts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean. Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it is about retirement, investments, taxes, or 401ks, Scott Hanson and Pat McLean would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Glad you are with us today as we talk about financial matters. Here we're kicking off September, and it's always the fall, latter part of the year. Kids. Every time is a good time to do good financial planning.
Yeah, kids back in school.
For most of the part. I think just about everybody by this point, right?
Kids back at college. Oh, we're talking about money. Just thinking about how quiet it's been at home.
In the middle of summer, I remember my daughter, who just graduated college and now is going to go to grad school.
Congratulations on the grad school.
Which was amazing.
Yeah, it really was amazing.
It was amazing, yeah. If you go back to age 15, I'm like, wow. And graduated, she had straight A's her last semester. And
very impressive. Back to when she was 15 and college was a question.
No kidding. She said she wasn't going to go to college. I remember, we're going to get back to stuff here, but if you got kids, I remember my wife and I were just joking about this the other day because we dragged her on a college tour and we're down in down at this one college and just her hair is pink or green or purple or something. And the college person said, so why is it you'd like to come to school? And she's thinking internally, thinking, I don't. She's like, I don't know.
Well, that was nice.
That was the end of the interview, right? And I'm thinking, well, this didn't go over so well. Anyway.
But if
she was over the summer, and I remember at one point saying, you know, it just, I can't live with you. I have such a great time when just we can't live together.
Oh, you said that to your daughter?
Yes.
Well, that's a good thing. She'll probably not want to be taking care of you when you're older. I wouldn't be letting that out, Scott. I would keep that to myself because when you're 81 or 82
anyway,
and you're looking for someone to kind of help around the house, she will remember.
This is a financial program. Both myself and my co-host Pat here, we're both financial advisors. And as financial advisors.
And human beings with real lives just like you.
Yes. And as financial advisors, money is a tool and people save money, accumulate financial resources to help them accomplish what may be important to them in their lives. And many people, retirement is still important, at least getting to the point in your life where you have financial independence, where work is an option and not an obligation. And at Hanson McLean, what we want to do is help people make sure they've accumulated enough assets in the most efficient manner possible so that they have the flexibility in their life to accomplish the things that are important to them.
I mean, I'll add on to that, Scott. I think more importantly than accumulating the assets is getting rid of debt. We're big advocates of going into retirement without debt. And if you go into retirement with debt, how do you manage it? We have ideas around that. And the other is how to take benefits, either Social Security benefits or pension benefits or annuity benefits or any kind of benefit. So part of a financial planning process is the asset, which most people aren't really worried about the people focus on the asset, but what they're really interested in is the income derived from the asset in retirement. Yes. Number one concern of people in retirement is taxes and income planning.
Healthcare, number one.
How to pay for healthcare.
Yes.
Income planning, right? So how do I pay for my healthcare? Where's my income going to come from and what do my taxes look like? That's what it looks like. And every survey we do, and we do workshops of all sorts throughout the year, all types. I mean, we have, in fact, we have a retirement symposium coming up here on the 15th of September in the Sacramento area. We're going to talk about a little bit later, but we survey the people that come to our workshops. We survey people that come to our website, and biggest concerns are healthcare and how do I pay for it? Income, where does it come from, including Social Security or pension income? And the last one is taxation. How much is the government going to take from me? And I want to talk about that a little bit later in the show because of the fact that last week we promised we were going to go in depth about Social Security, we think is going to happen to Social Security, what you need to worry about, and I mean worry about, seriously consider, is how to take your Social Security benefits.
Not worry.
Yeah, I mean worry. Worry a little bit about it so that you focus on it. You focus on things you worry about, do you not? Concentrate.
There we go.
I'm Irish. We worry.
You worry. I worry.
Right. Concentrate your thinking a little while on how to take your Social Security benefits because it's a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal. It's becoming even a bigger deal, too, as time goes on. And, of course, we talk about all other areas of finance at Hans McLean, and we love to take calls regarding anything, frankly, that has to do with finance. And if you'd like to be part of our program, love to take your call. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number to be part of our program. 1-888-2-HANSON. And numerically is 1-888-242-6766. And if you're listening to the program and think, you know, I'd like to be in the program, I don't have time right now, still give us a call and we can schedule a time to record and have you be part of our program. And we're going to start off this program today with Jeff in Stockton, California. Jeff, you're with Hans McLean.
Hello.
Hi, Jeff.
Nice to be on the show. Thank you for having me. I had a question about Bitcoin and BitClub and what you might know about it and would it be a good investment?
And what is BitClub?
Well, BitClub is, from what I understand, it's a computer system that generates Bitcoin mining. So...
So, you know, I'm actually glad you called, Jeff, because it had been a few months since anyone's called about Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies.
Or since we were challenged by the president of some Bitcoin cryptocurrency club to debate us over the merits of a cryptocurrency.
And I turned him down because I didn't feel it was worthy of my time. But So here's the thing. And what I find... is that investors are getting two things melded into one that are really two separate things. One is the blockchain. And I'm not a computer expert. I don't pretend to be.
But the blockchain technology.
The blockchain technology, which is revolutionary. It will change banking. It'll change many things. Change systems of orders, etc. And it's the way that information is broken down into little bits and spread over systems.
In a ledger.
The simplest format. It's phenomenal for security. Phenomenal. I think that the future for blockchain is tremendous. I think the implications it's going to have on society are tremendous. So Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency built on the blockchain. And what we've found is many people have been speculating the future of blockchain by using cryptocurrencies, with Bitcoin being the largest of them.
And there are hundreds of cryptocurrencies right now.
And new ones getting developed all the time.
Last time I read, the last quote was a couple weeks ago. I had read there were over 1,300 known.
Not coin offerings, but those are the same things, yeah.
Yeah.
Digital coins.
Digital coins.
So if you invest in Bitcoin or whatever, any of those currencies, the only way you're going to make money is if somebody is willing to pay more for them than what you paid for them.
Okay, so what's it going to, is the U.S. or world going to cross over to cryptocurrency instead of using cash? What would you say?
Oh, it might. At some point in time, right?
Well, it depends how you define it.
As much of the developed world has actually moved over to using credit cards instead of cash.
I noticed in my own, I have a jar in my closet where I keep coins from change when I get change somewhere. And it used to be I would use cash often. And now I use such little cash, I rarely have any coins in my pockets.
Because I
use
credit cards or... digital currency.
Isn't that kind of a digital currency?
Especially in many third world countries, that digital currency
even more common
than here. Very, very common. So is the world going to move to a cryptocurrency? Probably.
Depends how you want to define cryptocurrency.
But the question is, I think you're asking is, if I invest in Bitcoin or other sort of a cryptocurrency, can I make any money? Is that the question you're asking?
Well, yes. Will it make money and will I be able to use it like at point of purchase?
Got it. We have no idea whether it will make money or not. I'm going to speculate that if you were to buy Bitcoin, it will not make any money. Bitcoin is extremely volatile, as all of these cryptocurrencies have a tendency to be volatile. I believe Bitcoin, as of this airing, is probably down somewhere between 60 and 70%
from
its peak.
High. Yeah.
It went to its high relatively quick. There was a lot of hype behind it. If you look at previous bubbles in any asset class,
I think
going back to the Dutch tulip,
I think at its peak, the cryptocurrencies were valued about $600 or $700 billion, or maybe even close to $1 trillion around the globe. A lot of money created out of thin air by people bidding these things up.
But so was the tech bubble.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So was the real estate bubble.
Well, yeah, just things, just because they go up in price doesn't mean it's going to stay there.
So was the tulip bubble of the...
Yeah.
was the railroad bubble.
Yeah, a lot of bubbles.
So was the rubber bubble.
Here's the thing, Jeff. We don't think you should invest in Bitcoin. We believe that if you do, you will be a long-term loser for it. You might have a... Not you will be a loser. You will lose. That didn't sound good.
That sounded terrible. We believe that the
long term you will lose in this strategy.
Money in that strategy.
Yes. Okay.
That's our opinion.
All righty.
Sorry we didn't have
I'd stay far, far away from
it. Sorry we didn't have an answer that's better. It's just one of I think a lot of us have hope for something, and maybe is there something new out there that we can get in on and make some outsized gains?
The reality is by the time...
There's no such thing as a free lunch.
By the time most people actually get in...
It's too late.
It's normally too late. And...
we have no idea. Bitcoin might be double the price a year from now. It might be a quarter of the price a year from now. Probably within that range.
Scott, if I gave you $1,000 right now, and you had a choice of either keeping $1,000 or investing it in Bitcoin... Remember, I just gave it to you.
Well, I have no money in Bitcoin, so that would tell you right there what I'd do. And I have $1,000 of my own that I could invest in Bitcoin, but I would not buy
Bitcoin.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break. 1-888-2-HANSEN is the number. We'll be right back.
Are you a sports fan? Each year, teams spend the preseason getting ready for their big opening game. Well, retirement's a little like that. The difference is that instead of a yearly preseason, you spend your career getting your finances in shape for a retirement that could last 25 years or more. Think of Hanson McLean as the coach that gets you ready for your retirement season. For a free retirement readiness consultation, visit us at HansonMcLean.com today.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. And if you want to join us, 1-888-2-HANSEN is our contact number here at Hanson McLean. But we want to spend a little bit of time talking about Social Security. So if you are within a handful of years of retirement age... I think actually, I'm saying the only people that this would, that you might not find interesting is if you've been retired a number of years, maybe in your 70s or 80s, and your Social Security income provides the vast majority of your income.
Then you should not find this interesting.
You may not, unless you have other people in your lives that would this apply to, like a child or something. Then, so here's the thing.
So this is how we think you should think about your Social Security benefits, if you're receiving them now or you will be getting them in the near future.
So Social Security first began around the time of the Great Depression as a way to ensure that elderly weren't destitute. It was designed to supplement some retirement income.
That's what it was originally. And as most government programs go, there was creep in Social Security. So what happens is they added a widow's benefit to Social Security. Then Social Security added a disability benefit. And then Social Security changed the age you could take percentage your distributions. And then Social Security said, well, let's tax a little bit more of this for people that don't really need it.
Let's have benefits for people, widows, for their children.
Yes. So it was...
Survivor benefits.
It was government creep on, well, depending upon who you talk to, an entitlement. You paid into it with a tax, right? It was not voluntary. You paid in with a tax. And then the dollars are coming back. And it's irrespective, the dollars you get have little to do with the dollars you put in.
That's correct.
Little. So you could have put in twice as much money as your next door neighbor and receive...
almost the same benefit.
Almost the same benefit.
It's highly skewed to lower wage earners.
So
what benefits are?
Scott, what percentage of the population relies on Social Security for most of the retirement income?
Well, this is according to so there was a study that just came out from the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School of Business. Wharton's one of the top business schools.
Neither Scott nor I attended, but it is an excellent school nonetheless.
Yes. But I think we've had paid consultants that have gone.
Yes, many.
Yes. Although I personally don't have an MBA. There are people on our team that have MBAs,
yes,
which is very helpful. So according to this study, the share of retirees, this is quite alarming, actually. The share of retirees who depend upon Social Security for 90% or more of their retirement income. So we're essentially, this is it.
This
90% or more.
Without that Social Security benefit.
46.6%.
Almost half the percentage of the retirees that are on Social Security require this for 90% of their income.
And if you're looking at, for those that it's Social Security is more than half, it's 71%. Okay?
So people are reliant on Social Security benefits.
So roughly 50% of American retirees, Social Security is 90% of their income. And for 71% of retirees, it's more than 90%. I mean, sorry, so more than half. So it's only 30% of Americans, 29% of Americans, where Social Security is less than half of their retirement income. Okay?
Yep. So where are we going with this?
Most of the people who listen to the program, most of the people who save for retirement, who come to financial advisors like Hanson McLean at retirement and say, I've got my money in my 401k, I've got my home, how do I best make sure that these dollars will last for me? Most of those people fall into that 29% of Americans that where Social Security is going to provide less than half of their retirement income.
That it is a supplement to their retirement income. So what happens to those people that aren't reliant on Social Security benefits? Well, this is what we should worry about. This is, when I said earlier, Scott, what we should worry about, this is what we should concentrate on. That the cash shortfall by the year 2032, not that far away, will be 36% larger than the trustees estimated for that year.
That's according to the Wharton School of Business.
What that means is the Social Security Administration is running out of money.
Now, there was a major reform in 1983. That's when they began taxing 50% of benefits for those higher income retirees for that 29% of Americans whose Social Security provides less than half their income. Those are the ones that really...
So those people that have saved well, worked hard, put money away, had income in retirement, the government didn't take your Social Security benefit away directly. They just started taxing it in 1983.
That's correct.
Which is...
And then they increased...
Prior to then, it had never been taxed.
Then they increased that again in 1990 some odd. Up to 85% of benefits are included in taxable income.
So what is that? That's means testing.
But
that's needs testing.
To this, Pat, in 1983, when they did the last Social Security reform, the Social Security Trust Fund was expected to last until 2058. So last time we had major Social Security reform, the trust fund was supposed to last till 2058, which was 70 years beyond when they did. Today, in 2018, the trust fund is, according to Social Security, supposed to last to 2034. According to Wharton, it's 2032.
Yeah, pretty close.
14 years. So in 14 years from now, and this year, by the way, was the first year that we crossed over, and our, the Social Security receipts that workers are paying is no longer having a surplus going to the trust fund. Now, the receipts by the workers is not quite enough to cover the benefits, and the government is dipping into these reserves.
The principal itself.
And those reserves will be exhausted by 2032 or 34, depending on how you listen to.
So what that means, essentially, that point, it will be completely bust.
And there'll be roughly 76% of the money available to pay.
Yeah. There won't be enough. There won't be. So what's going to happen with Social Security? Well,
so it had some. So the thing, here's why we're talking about this.
Because you could go on a spreadsheet and it will tell you to defer Social Security if you have a normal life expectancy until age 70.
Almost everything does.
Until age 70.
Yeah. Yes.
It will tell you that. But it doesn't take into account the environment in which we live.
Yeah, so here at Hanson McLean, we deal with these issues all the time with our clients. Last week's program, we had a woman call. Her husband was 62, had $100,000 a year in retirement pension income, wondering when to start it. We said, start it now. And it prompted us to say, let's go a little deeper on the next week's program, which is why we're talking about it today.
Because if we had just said that and didn't explain our reasoning, we would get letters from people and emails that said, you guys are morons. You should always defer.
As we're financial advisors, financial planners, we're also investment folks. And we've trained in investment analysis. If I'm going to judge the value of an investment that has a stream of payments, let's say I loan somebody money and they're set to pay me back. The longer the payment stream, the more I would view the future payments as risk of perhaps I do not receive my interest. Perhaps I do not receive my principal.
And you
some
and those,
degree of that, right?
So what you're saying is, let's pretend this is a bond with a flow of income.
Let's pretend this is a security. To not put some degree of risk of reduction in payments in the future of that security would be
stupid.
Would be malpractice as an investment advisor, well, frankly.
It'd be ignorant.
Because there's government bonds, those are one things.
Which have globally one of the most secure credit ratings.
Yes. Backed by the full faith
government. Remember, was it during the recession they actually downgraded it and they actually
Social Security, it's a different deal.
It doesn't have those.
There's nothing to say the government can't change the rules in the future. We've seen them change them in the past.
Of course. They've actually lowered the benefits for those people that didn't need the money. He's like, no, they didn't.
Yeah.
They started taxing it.
Yeah.
That's another way lowering the benefits.
We've seen Medicare Part B taxes increase dramatically. Only the higher income retirees.
It wasn't increased. What is that? If you tax benefits to someone that has more money and don't tax it to someone that has less money, and it's
that's
coming from the government, that's a reduction.
And it's means tested.
You could call whatever you want, but you're not equally getting it all the same. So in Social Security, when we meet with our clients, and in fact, we're going to talk about this at our upcoming symposium in William Jessup University. But when we meet with our clients, we have these discussions, which is, look, we could run the numbers just like anyone else, but what's the risk of not getting it? If you don't need it, the rule of thumb is take it as early as possible. Makes no sense, right? If you don't need the benefit from Social Security to live, then take it.
Our concern, let's say you're 62 years old. Let's say you have $100,000 a year of retirement income, in part because of the money, or in large part because of the money that you've saved over the years.
And let's say you have $30,000 a year in Social Security income.
You could take Social Security at 62, or you can wait till age 70 or anywhere in between, right? And the longer you wait, the more the benefit will be. Of course, the longer you wait, number one, the less you're not receiving that income today.
That's right? one factor.
And of course, number two, you're betting that you're going to have that income is still going to be there.
Betting you have a normal life expectancy.
If in 14 years from now, the Social Security fund will be bust and there will be automatically triggers to cut for cuts. We know that now.
Who will they cut the benefit to? The people that aren't relying on it for food and clothing and shelter. That's who they cut the benefits to. You tax the rich. course you tax the rich.
They're the ones that have the money.
They're the ones that have the money. Why would you tax anyone but those that have the ability to pay it? It's been tried in history to tax everyone. It doesn't really work well.
Yeah, we already know that roughly half Americans pay no income taxes.
So.
So, Hansen McClain, and we're still, some politicians are trying to grab Social Security. Mark Rubio's got a proposal, says paid family leave. Let's exchange that for reduction in Social Security benefits in the future.
And what would happen there is that
Gavin Newsom, who's likely going to be the next governor of California, wants to make sure every homeless person is receiving Social Security disability to help pay for benefits. So it's a, and we've been doing this a long time, and we haven't really started, this became a bigger issue in the last 5 years with us. 25 years ago,
we talked about it.
25 years ago, we did not have the same attitudes we have today.
We talked about it, but we didn't. I would take it as early as I possibly could.
That's because we're getting closer to that date. Anyway, 1-888-2-HANSEN is our number to be part of the program. We're taking a quick break. When we come back, I'd love to hear from you. 1-888-2-HANSON. This is Hansen McClain's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSEN. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hansen McClain's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hansen.
I'm Pat McClain. Thanks for joining us in our second half of the show.
That's right. And before we head back to calls and the rest of our wonderful program, because everyone's feeling so good about life now that we've talked about Social Security.
That is a little bit depressing, but.
Well, it goes along with everything. Retirement, look, the fact of the matter is, like it or not, people have to take more and more today. It's more important today than ever that people take personal responsibility for their retirement. Oh. Because the pensions are going away. People have 401ks now.
Social Security's at risk.
Social Security in general is not at risk. For those that have done a good job saving and have an ample income in retirement, Social Security's at risk.
Okay, I'll go with that. I'll go with that.
It's the 29% of Americans who Social Security will provide less than half their retirement income. Those are the ones that are at risk of having some reduction in benefits because there's still enough money to pay for the other 71%.
Yeah.
But
what did they used to call that in during the recession when they were paying off, not taxing the moral? Remember
moral
when they
hazard?
Were, yeah, moral hazard. Is that a moral hazard?
I don't see this. Where's the moral hazard here? No, well, I'm not going to save for retirement.
If you're paying less benefits to those people that have saved, the moral hazard is to discourage people from saving.
Yeah. Well, like my friend who's a large plumbing contractor, does apartment complexes, and the biggest challenge he has is labor. And he says his biggest competition is not other plumbing contractors, it's the government benefits. When you put them all together.
Oh.
Getting entry-level people, it's like, well, I've got this government benefit and this government benefit. And
unintended consequences.
That's moral hazard. Anyway, we're going to go hit the calls here in just a moment. But we want to let people know about our Hansen McClain Retirement Symposium. And this is essentially an all-day event from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, September 15th. What this is...
We've never done this before.
We haven't done this before. But we have in some aspects. So...
We've done parts of it.
On this day, what will happen is Hansen McClain will be presenting our four most popular education workshops. We'll be presenting our seven personal decision points for retirement transition. This is for those that are within a few years of retirement.
Or recently retired.
We will be presenting our Social Security workshop, which will be going into all the nuts and bolts on Social Security. We'll be conducting our Art of Retirement workshop, which covers the Hansen McClain's future framework that talks about the four areas of your retirement that you need to focus on in order to have, this is based on research, in order to have a happy, productive retirement.
And this is something we rolled out this year that we've had incredible That's response right. to.
And we will be doing our workshop on...
Retiree beware.
Yes. Those products and services that you need to be aware of and how to ensure that you're not going to be taken advantage of in your retirement.
So we thought, we're going to try something new.
In addition, on Saturday 15th.
And there's more.
Free set of steak knives. No. In addition, we will be having opportunities for you to meet for a 10-minute or 15-minute slot one-on-one with a financial certified financial planner.
At no cost. So you just have a couple questions or just a quick overview or...
This will be Hanson McLean Retirement Symposium will be at William Jessup University, which is in Rockland, California, and basically a suburb of the Sacramento region. So anyone in Northern California can, and we apologize to those listeners in other parts of our country, but we may be coming to you in a future date. But it seats 500 people, and we're expecting around 500 people.
We expect
it's $15 to attend, so there is a slight cost to attend. However, for listeners of our program, you can get in for free, but in order to do so, you need to register at our website, hansonmclean.com, and the special code is RETIRE2018. RETIRE2018 is the code for to get a free registration. Again, the Hanson McLean Retirement Symposium, Saturday, September 15th, 10 to 4, and all information, more details are at hansonmclean.com. All right, let's go to some calls here. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. 1-888-2-HANSON. We're in Denver, Colorado with Joe. Joe, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hello, guys.
Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Just had a quick I had a quick question. I am a member of an LLC, and we have been contributing to a profit-sharing plan over the years. And my business partner has come into some expenses that is causing him not to be able to contribute to the profit-sharing plan this year, and maybe for the foreseeable future. Anyway, we were trying to figure out what the options might be for myself, who was intending to maximize the contribution. And if there is an option, I mean, obviously we're in the years past, we've been contributing close to max, right around the $50,000 mark the last couple years. And so that was my intention this year, was to continue on that path. So wondering if there are alternatives.
So I assume that you two are the only employees of the LLC. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so and you're the only owners.
And you're the only owners, you two, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and what's the approximate income for this?
Okay, are you speaking
This is an interesting dilemma. So
what's your income, your income and your partner's income, your salary and then profit?
Correct. Somewhere we're grossing about just over $1 million a year. So our K-1s reflect somewhere around 300,000 in that range per year.
Okay. So the question is,
and how old are you?
50, just turned 52.
And how old is your business partner?
53.
Okay, so the question is...
This is really kind of interesting.
I don't know the answer to this, but the question is, what happens if you just go to a regular 401k and just...
He could contribute.
But
there's going to be limited to 20. You can certainly do that.
Well, here's the challenge is our third-party administrator has confirmed that you go 401k or any other form of profit sharing plan where you can maximize what you put away, you're going to be contributing to the employees as well. And this year it looks like our number is right around $5,600 or thereabouts.
How many employees do you have?
Right now, well, we fluctuate, but it's five.
Okay. But you're putting in money for the employees anyway for your profit sharing. The profit sharing just doesn't sit in.
Partner doesn't want to do that.
Exactly. Yeah, he doesn't want to put away, you know, take money from that he could take himself. And
well, how's the impact? How are the employees going to think about this?
Wait, but Scott, forgive me for a second because I'm confused. Partner's putting money into the profit sharing right now, and that part of that goes to the employees.
And he wants to stop that.
Oh, and he wants to stop it.
He wants to quit all contributions to profit sharing plan so he can take those dollars. For himself, his portion, his 50% of that goes to him. He'll pay taxes on it at probably a 45% by the time you add federal and state in.
Right. Correct.
And he's dead set on this?
Well, we're discussing it. And so that's where I thought I'd reach out and see if there are other alternatives.
Yeah.
I know it's unusual, but it's you know, and frankly, with the vesting for the employees and so on, I don't know how much they would really concern them anyway.
Got it.
So it's one of those things where I think that the employee contribution isn't such a big deal. It's just, you know, one of us is wanting to maximize a contribution. The other one can't.
So because the other one doesn't go along with it. So the only I wouldn't do a profit sharing as much as I would do is a 401k with a safe harbor on it. So I would go back to your plan administrator and look at the 401k with a safe harbor provision on it. And what the safe harbor is it 3%, Scott? It's
3%.
It's 3%. And then you would put a match maybe at 3%, dollar for dollar. So it's 6% of payroll for the people that work for you, and it allows you to put the maximum in. And if your partner doesn't want to put any money in for himself,
you can kick in 23 grand.
Okay. So got it. All right.
Right. And so it's
that enables you to contribute at least 23 grand. Now you're going to have to contribute to your employees, but there's a vesting on it. So if they don't stick around long, that 3% of their pay that goes into the 401k, if they're not with you, it's usually 5-year graded. Then that those additional dollars revert back to the plan of which you and your partner are the primary beneficiaries of.
Does that make sense?
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, it totally does.
And it's a safe harbor plan, so your partner doesn't have to put a dime in if he doesn't.
And you're
want
allowed to max out. If you don't put the safe harbor provision, you're not going to be able to put much in because it's based upon how much your employees contribute.
Yeah,
you're top heavy.
That's right. Okay, no, that's excellent information. Okay, good.
Now, let me ask you another question, Joe. Who's managing the portfolio and the profits?
Let me step back. An easier way to do this is just to say, hey, partner, you don't want to do it. I want to do it. We can go through the hassle of setting up a 401k, which is going to be not only work, it's going to head work. It's going to be a little more money to go through that process. That way I can contribute 23 grand or... let's just meet down the middle, and instead of contributing, let's just contribute half of what we did in the past.
Keep the profit sharing in place?
Yeah.
And just say, hey, you know.
Let's meet in the middle here. I want to do it. You don't want to do it.
Well, yeah, one of the thoughts I had was, is right now, the way the profit sharing plan is set up, I can contribute independent of what he contributes. So that actually saved me for 2017 because I was a little bit panicked. We're on extension right now for 2017, where I would be able to sock away some money. But found out that there is a provision in the plan that allows me to go ahead and max despite what he contributes. The issue is the employee contribution.
Correct.
And
how
so
much is it though? Five grand a year?
It's like 5,600, I think, is the estimate we've received so far.
On $1 million gross revenue? Tell your partner, just calm down and just...
Yeah, just tell him to go along with the program that he's not throwing the money away. He's giving it to the people that actually help you make the $1 million a year.
Right, and I think he's just trying, we're considering scrapping the whole plan is the thing.
I know, but
But it's a value to me. It's really in the next few years, it's probably not so much to him, but... what I'm thinking is, what if I just absorb the employee side?
You could.
Myself? You could.
You know what? It might be worth it because of the savings.
But some of that employee stuff is going to end up going to him anyway when the employees stick, they're only there 2 years and they quit and that sort of thing.
Yeah, you could.
Correct.
Well, you guys gross $1 million a year in revenue and we're talking about $5,600.
Go find another
another customer.
Yeah.
Tell him to stop it.
I think what it...
Seriously.
I think what it boils down to is its principle.
I don't care. You know, it's just, look. Look,
yeah.
I know.
Scott and I have been partners for over 25 years. You know what?
Yeah.
The stuff that doesn't matter, we don't pay any attention to, just let it go. Tell him, just let it go.
It's
chuck
de minimis.
This one up.
You really want to participate in it?
You just tell him this is important to you.
Tell him you'll go try to find another $5,000 a year in revenue.
I can't believe that we're even having this conversation.
I know. Me neither.
Yeah, tell him just suck it up.
Yeah.
All right.
Tell me,
this is a big, and if this becomes a big dilemma, I feel for it because then it's a challenge. You've got a problem in the relationship here.
Yeah.
Because it's not a big issue we're talking about, particularly
it's
the benefit you're getting.
Yes. Yeah.
So, all right. Okay. Good luck, Joe.
Well, good, guys.
All right.
So, hey, I really appreciate your time.
All right. Glad you called. Let's continue on with calls. 1-888-2-HANSEN. Let's talk to Paul.
Right. Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Hi, Paul. What can we do for you?
Well, I'm doing a little bit of advanced planning for retirement, and just wanted to kind of go through some things with you. And then the kind of the bottom question is if I should pay my house mortgage off.
Perfect. Perfect. Fire away.
Well, I'm 70 and my wife's 69. I'm looking at retiring next year. She's already, she worked for a while. She's retired now.
Okay.
You usually have a follow-on question to that.
So the question is, are either one of you actually receiving Social Security benefits at this time?
We both are.
Okay. Okay. And when did you start those?
At full retirement age, 66.
Okay. And how much is your Social Security benefit a month? How did you know that we had a follow-on question? You must be a long-time listener of this show.
Yeah, I listen to you.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Okay, in my current job that I'm going to retire from, I make about $150,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
But right now I'm also receiving about $160,000 in retirement from the military, from Social Security, from an annuity that I inherited, and some disability from the VA. So
okay, so your total income right now is approximately $310,000.
Correct.
Okay,
and it'll say about 160. The good thing is the 160 is indexed. All of it's indexed, but it's all taxable too.
Yeah,
and except for the VA.
How much do you owe on your mortgage? We're not worried about you being able to retire, by the way. The question is...
Depends what his retirement
the question is.
Are.
The question is...
If he's spending $400,000 a year now, then we got a problem.
Correct. The question is, you're going to be able to retire. The question that you want answered is, can I continue my exact same lifestyle? And by the way, I just read a study that the average retiree spends 103% of 3% more in the first 2 years of the retirement.
First 2 years. Pent-up demand.
The first 2 years. It's pent-up demand, and then it goes
back
down.
And that's what we're kind of planning on, because we're going to be traveling and stuff, and I think that's kind of common. Yeah. We're retiring. I'm retiring a little bit older, so.
You won't have quite as much. So what's the value of the home, and how much do you owe on it?
The value of the house is about $500,000, and we owe about $195,000 on
okay.
it.
Okay, and how much do you have in IRAs or 401ks or
IRAs about $550,000 and other savings about $200,000.
And the other savings, how are they invested?
Primarily through Vanguard, I do my own stuff, but kind of combination of things. Some actually tax free municipal stuff right now.
And you said you owed that's approximately $200,000.
Yeah, about 2.
What do you think you should do?
And the interest rate on your home is what? You said 2%?
2.75.
Okay. Now, what do you think you should do? That's a great question, Scott.
Well, I can't pay it off while I'm working, because if I pull a lot of money out of, say, an IRA, it'd create a big taxable event. So if I'm going to pay it off, I have to do it right after I stop working full time, probably, like early in 2018. I guess it's kind of a, half plus or minus. I've heard you guys say before, when you retire, if you're still going to carry a mortgage, you just kind of, you don't pay up front on it. You just kind of drag it on.
Let me ask you this question.
At some time, we would probably sell this house in maybe three to five years and then downsize a little bit. So there may not be a real strong reason to sell it.
How much money do you have in the bank and like in savings accounts?
About $200,000.
In addition to the investments.
Oh, like $30,000-$40,000.
Okay.
So let me ask you this. If your home was paid off today, would you go out and take a $195,000 loan against it so you can go and invest in a variety of mutual funds, no-load funds, some muni bonds?
Probably not.
Okay. Then let's take it to the next conclusion. What's wrong with actually liquidating that brokerage account with the muni bonds investments in there and paying down the mortgage? And then you know that for that portion of your portfolio, you have a guaranteed 2.75% rate of return. Would you be happy with a portion of your portfolio getting a guaranteed 2.75% rate of return?
Well, hope for a little bit higher, but
well, we're not talking about hopes. We all have hopes and dreams, right? Don't we?
I mean, you know,
we don't know what's going to happen next year.
The bottom line, you know, I think from a lifestyle standpoint, given the amount of guaranteed income you have coming in, one can make an argument either way. And if your goal is to die with as money much asset as possible, then I'd say don't pay it off. Let's roll the dice. Let's get more aggressive with the funds that you've got in your investments. But you know, with that, so if that's your goal, if you, on the other hand, if your goal is to have as stress-free financial life as possible, then I'd say, you know, the challenge, you've got this $200,000 sitting in these funds. What happens if they fall in value to $150,000?
So
we know the bank's going to require repayment of that loan regardless.
Yeah, and what we do know is that this retirement income that you're receiving of retirement benefits, $160,000 a year, some of that has been going on for a while, but most of it is a relatively new income stream to you. Is that not true?
Well, actually, most has been going on since I retired from the Air Force 20 years ago, but Social Security is kind of the only new thing.
Okay, so here's what the situation is. You're living large, Paul.
I mean, which is fine.
Which is fine. So I would pay off that mortgage.
That's one less payment.
It's one less payment. And then I would do the required minimum distributions on the IRAs, and then I'd take the $160,000 a year in income that is indexed, and I'd learn to live on all of those combined.
That sounds like a good plan. I got one other related question is, okay, so we have a mortgage on our house, say 200, the house is worth 500. If we sell the house, my understanding is between me and my wife, we don't have to pay on $500,000 of gains, right?
Correct.
But if one of us is gone, that goes down to $250,000.
Yeah, but at the first death, that's correct.
But you don't think
you get a step up?
You get a full step up in basis in the property, though.
Yeah, you'll get a step up in basis.
So it moves the value of the property up to whatever the date was of the first death, so then there's available $250,000 above that.
So you don't think that enters into?
No, it wouldn't. No, I wouldn't spend a minute.
Not only that, you've got it's three of the last 5 years. So let's assume one of you were widowed. You've got the survivor would have 3 years to make that decision. But we have a step up in basis.
Yeah, I wouldn't spend any time thinking about that. What I would be thinking about is, okay, I've got this $160,000 a year in income. I've got my required minimum distribution out of my IRA, which will be, he's got a $550,000 IRA, so about what?
18 grand.
$20,000 a year.
Yeah, I've got to take the first one, I think, by the end of this year, because I turn 70 and a half this year.
Mm-hmm. You actually have until
April of 18, I guess I could delay
April 1st. And we very, very rarely recommend that, but if in fact you're going to be retiring the end of this year and you will not be working next year, we would strongly encourage you to defer that first required minimum distribution until the first quarter of 18.
And then take that one in the first quarter of 18, and then take another one towards the end of the...
Yes,
correct. So
exactly.
You're going to take two next year. So,
because right now you're getting hit, you know, where you're getting slammed as well, as in at this income level, you're losing your personal exemptions, you're losing your itemized deductions, right? You've got some reduction on it anyway for your taxes.
Right.
You're paying more in Medicare Part B than your neighbors.
Yeah, I'm paying a lot. I'm paying a lot.
And you're a regular fat cat.
How much are you paying in Medicare B on a monthly basis?
I think it's about $260 each.
Yeah, $260 each.
So truly, Paul, you're a regular fat cat. So
whatever that means.
Paul knows what it means.
If I delay it till next year on the...
You're going to save some money on taxes. So what is your mortgage payment?
It's about $2,300. We've been paying quite a bit more than that.
There you go. You're fine. Pay the house off. Call it a day.
I don't know how your mutual funds are allocated in your 200,000 savings. You said some are in tax exempt bonds. Do you have any in stock funds?
Not really.
Okay.
I actually most are in mutual deferred bonds simply because I don't want to pay more taxes.
Yeah. So what can happen? But I tell you, we have a rising interest rate environment, And any return, if assuming rates rise, nobody knows what the future is going to be. But if rates go up, you can certainly have a loss there. If I were in your situation, I would I wouldn't wait till the end of the year.
I'd do it tomorrow.
There's very minimal tax.
Yeah, there's no benefit in waiting. I would just pay the house off as quickly as I could. I would revisit the allocation in the 401k in the IRA. And if I wasn't spending those required minimum distributions, I'd just put them in the bank. I would just put them in the bank. Yeah, and I assume that your trust
actually,
is up to date.
If we can live on the 160 and then pulling the required out, that just gives us some more money for travel.
That's correct. And remember, you're living right now, you're paying extra on that mortgage. So I would do that. I'd make
and
sure my
that $2,300 a month at the marginal tax rate you're in, including your paying into Social Security taxes and everything else, you're really making about $4,000 a month. It's costing you, but that $2,300 is actually costing you about $4,000 a month of your wages.
Just because when you're taking those
payment
taxes.
Yeah, you figure out all the taxes.
So I would make sure my trust was up to date, and then I'd start planning the big vacations.
Okay.
Of course, they're not vacations when you're
retired. Yeah, they are not vacations. Well, actually, isn't it funny, Scott? You can tell when someone really recognizes or when they're retired is when they quit referring to their vacations.
Travel.
They call trips or travel.
Not vacations.
Not vacations. Oh, okay. So start planning your trips.
Probably wish you well.
Okay, I really appreciate your advice.
Yeah, right, our pleasure.
You know how it goes.
Yeah, great. Good for you. Well, that is all the time we have in this program this week. We're here every Saturday. If you want to listen to Hanson McLean, go visit our website, hansonmclean.com. We'll see you next week.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.
What matters most to you? Probably family and friends, but what else? When you're in your 20s, it's one thing. Your 30s and 40s, another. When your 50s creep in, you're older and wiser, but the sand in the hourglass of your asset accumulation stage has shifted. Right now, you're listening to Scott Hanson and Pat McLean. Sure, they've been hosting Money Matters for 20 years, but they've been CEOs of Hanson McLean Advisors for longer than that. If you're over 50 and you've been saving for retirement, you're probably wondering how your preparation stacks up. Here's what you should do. Go to HansonMcLean.com and either schedule a free consultation with one of our credentialed advisors, or if you're not quite ready for that, maybe take a look at some of the helpful materials in our learning library. You'll see tutorials, podcasts, and articles on things like Social Security, retirement planning, investments, and a whole slew of other things that can help you retire well. Over 50 and starting to see retirement up ahead? Make sure you do it right. We can help. Go to HansonMcLean.com today.